Quiet Place in the Country by Max Williams.
Well, they'll be out in a minute. Better get 15 pints pulled smartish.
It'll go flat if I pull them too soon.
Good win. 9 points to 3.
We needed one to end this season. Out to such a class. Or at least of much needed respectability.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. There you go. There you
go. Not in the bar.
Yes, Mr. Club Secretary, sir. Hey!
The ladies have all worked hard to produce an excellent club supper. They don't want to be treated to Sharon's song.
The Gordimals!
15 pints on the secretary's account.
Hey! Before you all lapse into your customary Saturday night stupor, I'll remind you of the ad hoc pre-tour committee meeting.
That's it, mate. We've all had a hard game.
No, it can't. Now, the Easter tour arrangements have got to be made. There's the accommodation to be paid for and that sort of thing. And the coach.
Why don't we just take our cars?
Because of what happened last year, that's why.
Coming from the honorary bath steward.
What the hell do you mean by that?
All right, shut up, a pair of you. Now, we don't want to embarrass anyone, but Julian damn nearly lost his job when he was breathalyzed last year, and I and the President have taken it upon ourselves to contact Harper's and hire a coach. Now, that's what the increase in bar prices has been all about. The money's got to come from somewhere.
Shut up, Billy.
And the George Hotel has accepted our booking for this year, much to my personal amazement.
Now, listen.
We're damn lucky they've been so broad-minded. Last year's incident with the grandfather clock was a total disgrace. The membership committee will review the position of anyone who brings the good name of this club into disrepute. I'll say no more than that.
You said that bloody clock wouldn't fly.
And unfortunately, you were right. And there'll be no filling bathtubs with beer for after-hours drinking. It's banned. I've promised the hotel management.
Resign.
Any more of that and I will. So the arrangements are that we meet at the clubhouse with full kit, 6 p.m. sharp, next Thursday.
Right.
The club bar will not open before departure.
Yes, come on.
There will be beer on the coach.
Jacko's late.
That's him coming now. Get the bonnet up. Just like any other roadside ranger.
Broken down.
It's all right, Jacko. There's nobody about.
I had a good look round.
It's all right.
Well, get your tools out. Fiddle about with the engine a bit. Make it look natural.
I said it's all right.
Do it. We're talking about armed robbery. That's a lot of porridge.
Jacko's right.
Have you bought the gear?
Where's the bloody car?
There's been a bit of trouble over it, Jacko.
Shut it, Smiler.
What do you mean, trouble?
It's a late model Cortina, like you said, Jacko. But we could only find an estate.
You bloody idiots, I said a saloon.
Getting a car sometimes means nicking what there is, Jacko. The estate was the best we could do.
Oh, it's bugging up the old plan, isn't it? We'll have to move the bag of money into the hotel. The idea was to lock it in the boot and leave the old lot in the car park. Truth.
It's a detail, Jacko.
Let me think.
Is there time to nick another car?
No, bloody antiques fair starts in a couple of hours.
We could motor into Andover and try one of the supermarket cars.
No! Got to check in at the hotel at the same time as the antique dealers.
What about the gear, Jacko?
In the cases, boiler suits, stocking masks, surgical gloves and 2 shooters. What about you, buggers? You're supposed to look like antique dealers, not second-hand car salesmen. That your idea of a quiet tie, Smiler?
Yeah.
Well, change it. The accent's on respectability. I don't want any cock-ups. Now, listen. We drive nice and quietly down to the venue we discussed. Our book was in at the George Hotel. It's a nice, quiet place in the country. I've checked it over. A few travelling salesmen, the odd American tourist, the ideal spot.
Nice, quiet place in the country.
Shut up, Smiler.
I hope you've memorised the plan with more efficiency than you stole a car.
The Westbury Antiques Fair is being held at Westbury Manor.
Right.
The Armitage Collection is being sold. But we're unlikely to get a sniff of that because the deal will be through well-known dealers who will do everything through their bank account.
Then what's the point?
You're supposed to know all this.
Let it go, Jacko. Look, Smiler, we can't get at the big cash from the Armitage Collection because it's all going to be kosher, see? But the sale goes on for 3 days. The antiques trade has shipped in junk from 100 miles around. They're just using the sale in the manor as a big draw for an ordinary antiques fair. Now, the small fry like to deal in cash. It saves a lot of bother with the VAT and the inland revenue. Bit like our trade.
Right.
Now, it so happens that Easter is a bank holiday.
It is most years.
Leave it, Jacko. It's a holiday, Smiler. So the banks will be shut. Now, you remember we discussed this. The dealers will have to use the night safe. You know, The big trap door that people put packages into when they go home at night.
Oh, no, I'm not stupid.
God, give me strength.
So when all the hundreds of tin pot little dealers have finished buying and selling sideboards and cups and saucers, they'll all shoot off to the nearest bank.
And there's only one within 5 miles of the manor.
And they'll all shove their satchels of cash in the night safe.
That piddling little branch bank usually has a few hundred quid in its night safe top whack. But on Tuesday morning, there'll be upwards of 100,000.
With the price antiques are fetching today, there could be more, perhaps. A lot more. Now, Smiler, as soon as the bank opens on Tuesday after the holiday, you and I stroll in, stick a shotgun under the manager's nose, and invite him to hand over the contents of the night safe.
Like we discussed, Frank.
Like we discussed, Smiler. Someone of your size, even without a shooter, is more than likely to get his own way. And I'll be there to make sure nothing goes wrong.
Well, let Frank do the talking. Just stand there looking sinister. You won't find that too difficult.
Then we pile into the car and blast.
Oh, we bloody well don't.
Try to remember, Smiler. Now, we've talked about all this.
When?
Go off and bed it.
We drive slowly back to the hotel. The way we've planned it, it's most unlikely the car will be seen at all. With any luck, the local police will throw a cordon around the area and the regional crime squad will put out a call to watch the motorways.
While we're enjoying the businessman's lunch back at the hotel.
But if someone has spotted the car, the fuzz will turn up at the hotel car park and assume that's where the villains dumped it while making their escape empty-handed. Only with darts, that's what'll happen.
And if necessary, we can stay on for a few days pursuing our business interests in the area, while the police get tired of watching all the roads.
And then we drive quietly back to London.
Once the police have decided, we must have got away.
I like it.
Well, I'm glad you approve, Smiler.
Jenny! Where the hell's my best shirt?
On the bed. Your cufflinks are next to it.
Socks?
Bottom drawer.
Which tie? The red silk?
No. With that shirt... The blue.
Yeah. Handkerchief. I've got it. What time can I hit?
1:30. You've plenty of time. Do you think you could drop me off in town? I've a hair appointment.
I've got a bloody job interview to go to.
All right. I'll go by bus.
Oh, it's okay. I suppose I've got plenty of time.
You'll be all right. I've got great faith in you.
Chances like this aren't getting more frequent, you know. If I don't make some sort of breakthrough soon, I'll be too old.
Oh, rubbish. Oh, God. Hair always gets like that when you've just washed it.
Rap?
No. I'm the advance guard of a rugby tour. I've driven down ahead of the coach to see to the arrangements and to smooth down the management a bit. We weren't very well behaved last year, I'm afraid.
A rugby tour? A bit late, isn't it? Nearly the cricket season.
Oh, it's the Easter tour. An end-of-season tradition in rugby circles. We always come to the West Country. Some of the bigger clubs go to Wales, but they take their rugby a little too seriously there for comfort.
Oh, I'm a soccer man myself. Who do you fancy for the cup?
Cup?
Cup final.
Oh, Chelsea?
Oh, you must be off your rocker.
Probably.
I took you for a rep. I'm a rep. See that bloke over there at reception? Fletcher, a retail confectionery. He's a rep too.
Really?
They're all packing up their samples and going home for the bank holiday.
Yes, I suppose so. I dare say you'll be packing up for the bank holiday.
Oh, no. I always do my VAT over the bank holiday. Hmm. Do you do VAT? It's a curse. Me and Mrs. Olroyd don't get on. Never have. I save up all my holidays and take them all at once. I go to Cornwall, shark fishing. Ever been shark fishing?
Never.
Good for the wrists. I've got wrists of iron.
What's your line?
Dental supplies, units, chairs, burrs, amalgam, sundries. You aren't a dentist, are you?
No, public relations. Mainly commercial work.
Because if you were a dentist, I could offer you substantial discounts. My card. Simcox Willis & Co. Heard of us?
Afraid not. Well, one of our players is a dentist, though. Billy Frobisher. I suppose you'd know him as W.D. Frobisher. Name ring a bell?
No. Probably not my area.
No, I suppose not. Do you come here much?
Been staying here for years. Until 1960, I always stayed at the Sheraton. The Sheraton?
No.
Then in 1960, the firm called in management consultants, and we all got smaller cars and found ourselves in cheaper hotels.
Bad luck.
Oh, I quite like this place. I'm not a snob, you know.
No, of course not.
But it's not quite the Sheraton.
No, not quite.
You have your teeth done privately.
I beg your pardon?
Well, that bridge work isn't NHS. I couldn't help noticing when you laughed. You don't mind, do you?
Why should I mind?
Mm-hmm. Take those three gents over there, see? Antique dealers. So Lottie at the desk told me. Up for the big antique sale. Well, they must be at the scruffy end of the trade, if you ask me.
Well, they look perfectly respectable to me. They've got a good tailor. The same tailor, if I'm any judge.
No, their teeth are rubbish.
Really?
The very big ones wearing dentures. Look, see? See as he swigs his beer? A row of snow-white gnashers? Oh, like a postcard of the Alps. No man of his age would have teeth as white as that. He's got the teeth of a 10-year-old.
And the face of Satan.
Well, people expect dentures to have white teeth. Now, a good dentist talks him out of it. Most take the easy road.
I'll bear it in mind.
Oh, the one in the middle's been abroad. Oh, look, as he bites that sandwich, his upper right 7 and 8 of continental bridge work. Oh, that must have cost a few bob.
Fascinating.
A man's whole life is etched in his teeth, like a horse. Follow horses, do you?
Never.
You can tell a lot from a horse's teeth. Same with a man. Take the other gent at the table. Oh, he's all dressed up in his best suit, but his mouth is bloody horrible. He's been scrubbing his teeth lately, but he doesn't usually. Look at the tartar at his gingival margins.
His what?
Gingival margins, where his teeth meet his gums. Oh, there's early periodontitis there, if you ask me.
Perio what?
Periodontitis. Your gums rot. Does he more teeth than you've had hot dinners? So, here we are. We have one bloke who's had his teeth fixed abroad, one who looks as phony as a toothpaste advert, and one whose choppers are about to fall out.
You're a dangerous man to know, Mr...
Allroyd. Benjamin Allroyd. Well, my wife always calls me Benjamin.
Nick Asprey, Old Fentonians Rugby Football Club. The old boys of Fenton College.
Nice to meet you.
How do you do?
I suppose your lot are a bunch of toffs. All chrome cobalt bridge work and gold inlays.
No, I wouldn't say that. We're a very minor public school. We used to specialise in sending boys into the army. Oh, but for years now it's been a bit of this and a bit of that. A couple of solicitors, a dentist, some doctors. A vicar, he doesn't play. A few farmers.
I went to an elementary school between a gasworks and a cemetery.
Oh, bad luck.
Oh, I haven't done bad. I've got a Ford Cortina. What have you got?
Well, actually, it's not mine. It's the firm's.
What is it?
A Mercedes. Oh, I use it occasionally. Perk of the job.
There you are. The Cortina's not mine either, but I use it every day. That's the difference between us.
Is it?
Nick Asprey recommended you. You knew that?
Well, I'm not surprised to hear it.
Good man, Nick. One of the best. Frankly, I don't think we'd have interviewed you if Nick hadn't said a few kind words. Good friends, are you?
We belong to the same rugger club.
A bit old for a rugger, aren't you? Young man's game. We don't have many rugger players here. It's mostly squash.
Thank you, Jeremy. You were saying that you and Nick knew each other socially.
We were at school.
Ah, yes. Fenton College. Wasn't Pemberton Smythe at Fenton?
No, Harrow.
Was he? Mm. No, never mind. We tried to phone Nick this morning about this appointment, but his wife said he'd gone down to Devon or Cornwall or somewhere on some sort of tour.
The Easter tour. We go every year. Most clubs do.
Tell me about this tour.
Well, we all stay at a country hotel near clubs we've got long-standing contacts with.
Mm-hmm.
We usually play 3 matches over the bank holiday and then come home. It's more of a social event than anything else. Rugby isn't all that serious. It's serious, but not all that serious, if you see what I mean.
Do you play to win?
Well, no one plays to lose.
Do you win?
Sometimes.
More often than not, or less?
Well, to be honest, if you look at the record books, I suppose we lose 2 tour matches for every one we win. But the home sides always have an advantage, you know.
Public relations, Mr. Davenport, isn't about losers.
Oh, come on! It's a social event, not all blacks. These tours help maintain contacts within the game. Call it a public relations exercise, if you like. Well, you know how it is. Plenty of beer, a few of the old songs, chance to meet friends you haven't seen for ages.
Doesn't it boil down to a bunch of grown men who were once at school together, all frantically trying to preserve the relationships of childhood which the rest of us have grown out of?
No. No, it doesn't boil down to that. I can see why you think it does, but it just isn't like that, that's all. It's about comradeship. Maintaining old friendships, looking after 1 or 2 lost sheep.
The recognition that there's more to life than just making a living.
Are you one of the lost sheep that Nick Espy is looking after?
No, I bloody well am not.
Just asking. Well, Mr. Davenport, we've got another four people to see. I obviously can't give you any sort of answer until we've interviewed everyone. But I promise we'll write to you one way or the other by the end of next week. And thank you for coming.
Bye.
Well, where do we leave the M4?
Leave it to the driver. He knows what he's doing.
The spot fixtures are the same as last year.
If you'd bothered to read your fixture list, you'd know, wouldn't you?
Oh, don't be such a bloody pedant.
The Onset supplied you with a fixture list, so read it. Where is the Onset, anyway?
Rode off ahead in his Thorns Mercedes, leaving the rank and file to blunder along in the coach.
Come on, Julian, be fair. He's gone ahead to smooth down the hotel management. And you were worse than most last year.
Bill! It was Billy! Hey, where is Billy?
He's on the back seat. He passed out.
A few pints and he's dead to the world.
I suppose it's all his teeth. I don't think I'd want to earn my living staring down the human gullet. I think it's a bit bloody much, Nick driving himself. I mean, the rest of us aren't to be trusted driving our cars.
Like being back at school.
Fine man you are to talk. Who was it who registered 275 milligrams last year?
Oh, well, it could happen to anybody, Vic.
Oh, I agree. Which is why Nick had the good sense to lay on a coach.
But our super responsible secretary still drives himself.
Well, he's a bit more sense than the rest of us. Dave Davenport's driving down, so Nick is alone.
Dave Davenport couldn't find his own arse if you supplied him with a map. How does anyone expect him to find out?
Well, you're a fine one to talk. Remember what old Paul Gregg used to call you?
Wasn't him, it was Philby.
Philby?
Chartered accountant.
Oh, yeah.
Went to jail.
Oh, yeah.
Fraud.
Hey! I have just had a look at Billy. I think he's dead.
He always looks like that. We can bury him. Where's the Vic gone?
Talking to the driver. Hang on. We're pulling off the motorway.
Not long now. Come on, lads. A few choruses on the bridge at midnight.
He's standing
on the bridge at midnight.
Dave! Over here!
I didn't see you in that shadow.
The eyes again.
Just hay fever. It'll pass.
You should go to an optician. I can make you an appointment.
Opticians don't cure hay fever.
The doctor, then.
On a bank holiday. God, and I've got a 200-mile drive to do.
How was it?
How was what?
You know what. Stop avoiding the issue.
Well, I don't think there's a hope. You can generally tell. They only interviewed me as a favour to Nick Asprey. They were looking for somebody 10 years younger than me with my sort of experience.
That's impossible.
That's what I told them. I didn't put it very tactfully. I think I just sentenced myself to another term of imprisonment in the offices of Guest, Penrose and Co. Sorry, love.
Sorry, nothing. You're the one who deserves sympathy.
Well, if I'm going to drive down to this stupid rugby tour, I better get on with it. Can't let Nick down. He's the best contact I've got.
How's Muriel?
I don't know. I haven't asked him.
Oh, David.
It's his own business. One doesn't interfere.
If men interfered more, there wouldn't be so many divorces.
There'd probably be more. I suppose you want to see your mother.
I must.
Well, if I drop you at Ilminster, can you get a bus or a train or something?
I'd rather you took me all the way. I don't know the times of the buses or anything. I could be there for hours. Will it make you late?
Well, I'm bound to be late anyway. I don't suppose it'll make much difference. Come on, then. If we start now, we can get you to your mother's without killing ourselves on the M4.
Mother will think it very strange, you going off to a hotel. You know what she'll think?
If I drove to the matches from my mother-in-law's, I'd never hear the end of it. Anyway, I'm sharing with Pig. I'm the only one who can stand his hypochondria.
How did he come to be called Pig? Schoolboys are horrible.
His name's John Hogg. Thus, Pig. Perfectly logical. There was another boy named Thomas Moby. We called him Dick. He didn't complain. Wouldn't have done him any good if he had.
Idiot.
You've never been shark fishing?
No, I haven't. No,
those two blokes at the bar have been watching us.
A big one could be old Bill.
Cool it, Smiler.
I don't like it.
Keep your bloody voice down.
The other one, the seedy-looking Burke, he's a travelling salesman. I sussed him out when I was here last week. He sells things to dentists.
Still don't like it, Jacko.
No one's asking you to like it. Just shut it.
Big Weaver!
Nothing here, Billy. I
I promised the management.
Promised the what?
There's the kit out of the coach.
George and Jumbo are on baggage duty.
Their bloody turn.
Well, we don't want anything left behind. We better check we've got everything.
Oh, don't be such a bloody old woman, Nick. You'd remind me of my mother. Have a drink.
Really. I'll go and check.
Who the hell are these birds?
Oh, I don't know.
Shut up.
It's not the law, that's for certain.
It came in a coach. It's outside.
Oh, it's got that spoiling a country.
Go and find out, Frank, and be careful.
It's a little tight for our pansy of a standoff half. What about you, Vic? Can I tempt you?
I suppose I am on these occasions a man among men. Look, I'm a bitter, Billy.
And a Presbyterian pipe for the Vic.
I'm not a Presbyterian, Billy, but thank you anyway.
All right, all in order. Coach is pushed off. Who was sick in the back?
Who is without sin, let him cast the first stone.
No preaching on tour.
I apologise. No, I don't. I don't. As president of the club, I'm invited to preach.
You certainly are.
No, imagine that I don't realise that the president has been brought on this tour totally against tradition, only because, being a vicar, he lends a certain phony respectability to an otherwise orgiastic enterprise.
And this gentleman here is trying to get served, so out of the way, Billy.
Yes, get out of the way, Billy.
Dentist. Everybody hates dentists.
Oh. Anyway, if last season's anything to go by, old Wesleyans will have spent the past week in strict training. You know how seriously they take the game. Yeah.
There aren't many clubs which take the game as casually as we do anymore.
No, that's true enough. Anyway, we must try to give them a decent game, even if we are only a bunch of beer-stained old cripples. I'll probably play that nifty scrum half who gave us so much trouble last year.
Yes, unless Harlequins have snapped him up.
Right, well, we've got to get around the back of the lineup and scrap the bugger before he can feed his back.
Hear it?
Sound like a job for Billy.
Yes, go on, Billy.
If you weren't such a good number eight, Billy, we wouldn't have brought you.
Thanks very much. No, you don't have to worry about that scrum half. I'll kill the little swine.
Hardly think you need go that far.
And keep your fists to yourself. One more incident like last year's and we'll lose the fixture.
Yeah! Right.
By all accounts, he got it.
No, we don't want any of that. I don't care what the provocation is. Remember, RFU rules automatic 30-day suspension.
It's a serious matter!
I had a good listen at the bar. Lots of overgrown schoolboys down here to play rugby. They're genuine enough. They're too pissed and too stupid to be anything else.
Place is filling up fast.
Antique dealers, down for the sale.
Well, that helps us, doesn't it? The more people there are here, the less we stick out.
Smile, I would stick out anywhere.
What do you mean?
Bottle it.
Down for the sale, gentlemen.
That's right. You?
Oh, no. I'm here to do my VAT. I suppose VAT's a big problem in the antique trade.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it about.
Stow it, Smiler.
Oh, Royd. Simcox Willis and Co. My card. I wonder if I might ask you gentlemen for some advice.
What about?
Antiques. It's Mrs. Alroyd's hobby, you see, antiques. Look rather funny in a council flat, but it keeps her happy.
Yeah. Oh, we don't give advice.
Benjamin, she said. Oh, she always calls me Benjamin. I do like furniture with a bit of quality. Well, one does, doesn't one?
Better than a load of old tat.
I've always wanted an escritoire, she said.
A what?
Shut up.
Well, get her one, then.
Oh, well, that's just the point. I'm just an ordinary man, you see, whereas you gentlemen spend your lives amid carriage clocks, fine porcelain and 18th-century French furniture.
Right.
So, I was wondering if you could tell me, oh, confidentially, of course, it will go no further, what the escritoire to be auctioned tomorrow is likely to fetch.
Not really our line. I mean, tables and chairs is our line.
You know where you are with tables and chairs.
Yeah.
You see, me and Mrs. Alroyd don't get on. Never have. But I've been thinking, if I could find her a good quality escritoire within the ambit of my purse, so to speak, it might be some consolation for the life of loneliness she's had to endure whilst I've devoted myself to purveying dental supplies to the profession.
Well, it might, yeah.
A hint would be enough.
Could be a lot. You never know with
escritoires.
Escritoires.
Very tricky. Could fetch a packet on the other end, might go dirt cheap.
Depending on the bids.
Will you gentlemen be bidding for it?
Us? Nah, wouldn't touch it with a starting handle. You want it, Squire, you bid for it. We won't stand in your way.
I was wondering if you might bid for me.
Us?
We can't do that, Mr. Oldroy. It's not fair on the other antique dealers. It's ethics, you see.
Yeah, it's ethics.
As Smiler says, it's ethically impossible. That's out of the question.
An idea of the price, then.
Oh, no, that's grassing on the other dealers. We don't like that. You can get done over pretty serious for less than that. We'd never grass, never.
Okay, Smiler, okay. And nobody's going to. Calm down.
Yeah, calm down.
You see how it is, Mr. Oldroyd? Feelings run high on such matters. If word got out that we'd betrayed the trust of the Antique Dealers Association, we'd be right in it.
Up to the short hairs.
Why don't you ask one or two of the other dealers? There's enough of them here.
Well, if you can't give me any information, how can they?
Some of them ain't as ethical as what we are.
That's right.
There's a bloke over there named a Wayland. He looks a harmless old twit. Why don't you try him? We can't help you. Sorry.
Excuse me, sir. Would you be Mr. Wayland?
I would.
Oh, and would that be the auction catalogue?
Yes.
Is the escritoire in it?
Well, everything's in it. You're not in the antiques trade, are you?
Oh, no, by no means.
Of course not.
Allroyd, Simcox Willis & Co., dental supplies.
Is there something I can do for you? Would you like to see the catalogue?
Oh, very kind, sir.
Please don't call me sir. Reminds me of the army, an institution I'm determined to forget. Here, that's the escritoire.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen better. Potter will be after it, of course. You can have it. It'll reach four figures.
I'm sorry you don't like the army. I'm a member of the British Legion, you know.
I didn't know. I've nothing actually against the army. At least not anymore. Apart from a marked aversion to military bands, I've more or less got over it.
I was in the 19th Field Regiment, Royal Artillery.
How interesting.
Ubique.
Pardon?
Ubique. It means everywhere. It's the motto of the Royal Artillery.
How very far-sighted of someone.
It's Latin.
Really?
Will it really fetch four figures?
Oh, that. Yes, could go very high. Of course, prices have gone mad, you know. People are getting out of money and into antiques. And anything else that's likely to rise in price.
My wife collects antiques. I wanted the escritoire for her.
We can offer to Potter. He'll get it. He's here for that kind of piece. Frimley wants the chinoiserie, Lucas the silver, and I'm here for the clocks. We don't get in each other's way.
Oh, I suppose that's ethics.
Ethics. Ethics. It's damn good business.
Those two gentlemen over there wouldn't tell me anything. They said it was ethics.
I don't know them. And I know anyone who is anyone in antiques. But there you are, you see. The trade's exploded in every direction except upwards. I expect they're what Potter unkindly describes as the market stall end of the trade. The fly-by-nights are everywhere. Ubique.
I wanted that one because it's small enough.
For a particular room?
For the lift. To the flats. Couldn't carry it up all those stairs, not with my feet.
Good Lord. Do you mean you live in a block of flats?
Lots of people live in flats.
Yes, I suppose so. And you say your wife collects antiques?
Well, she's got a Sheraton sideboard. Uh-huh. It's in the bedroom. No room for it anywhere else. Mm. And a Victorian commode. That's in the lounge. Or sitting room, as my wife says we should call it. And a grandmother clock.
Who made it?
Oh, now there you have me. It's the wife's, you see, not mine. No, my hobby's shark fishing. Do any shark fishing, do you?
If it's a good enough clock, it's just possible that I might be able to work something out with Potter on a commission basis. Mm-hmm. Now, where can I contact you?
Oh, my card.
Oh, thank you.
Collect clocks, do you?
Good Lord, no. Oh, there's nothing to beat a digital watch, in my opinion. I buy them and sell them.
Watches?
Clocks. Describe your wife's clock to me.
Well, it's about this high. It's black with a gold face. It chimes. Oh, there's a good chime, it does. Mm. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong.
Quite, yes. Any scroll work or inlay?
Oh, now there you have me. Not my line, you see. Dentistry's my line.
And shark fishing. Look, I tell you what I'll do. I'll buy the escritoire. I can always resell through the trade if the worst comes to the worst. And I'll certainly come round next week to see the clock.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry? Oh, the barman has gone for his supper.
Damn.
Come from?
From town. I'm down here for the antiques fair.
Dealer? There's three of your colleagues here already, at the table in the corner.
I can't say I know them. It's funny that. I get round to all the sales. I know most people. The
place has got more people in it than last year. No wonder the management were a bit edgy about taking us.
Is that clock the hotel's?
Well, it's not ours.
It's a fine specimen.
Yeah, not as fine as it was, I'm afraid.
How do you mean?
Well, Bill is the expert on that clock. Him and Jack French. He hasn't come this year.
His wife wouldn't let him.
About the clock.
It leaks.
I beg your pardon.
Leaks like a sieve.
It's a long story. Perhaps we should turn in. Big match tomorrow.
How do you mean it leaks?
Well, Jack French reckoned its capacity was 10 gallons. Jack's a quantity surveyor, you see. I wouldn't have it. Nothing like 10 gallons. Very deceptive clocks, even for a quantity surveyor. So Jack said, let's fill it with beer. Well, we'd had quite a bit ourselves, you understand. But you can't waste good beer to calculate the capacity of a ruddy clock. I could see that pissed a knot. So we took it outside to the lily pond in front of the hotel and launched it. Sank like a stone.
Good
God. Well, we had to get it out. Not ours, you swayed a ton full of water. We stood it on the drive, let it drain, and blow me, we caught a carp. Not that I fish. Never bother. Haven't the patience. But I took it home. My wife grilled it. Tasted awful.
That clock, Sir Thomas Tompion. At least I think it is. Do you seriously mean to tell me that you sank that magnificent piece of English craftsmanship in a pond?
Are you deaf? I just said I did, didn't I?
You vandal! You Billy!
Let him go.
Take your hands off me, you hooligan!
Come on, Billy, time to call it a day. It's pretty late. We'd better all go. Come on, lads. Night all. Right, Mr. Sorry about that.
Nick.
Hello, Dave.
Sorry I'm so late. Traffic on the M4 was hopeless.
Oh, we've given you up for dead. The others have all turned in. You're sharing with Pig.
I know.
Well, he'll be asleep by now. You know Pig. How was the interview?
Dire.
You sure? I put a word in for you.
So I heard. They said they wouldn't have bothered to have interviewed me if you hadn't. I'm very grateful. I just made a bog of it, that's all.
Oh, one never knows. You'd be surprised. Simon Fortescue knows a good man when he sees one.
I gather the average age of their staff is 25.
I doubt that. Son's not 25. Hasn't been for a long time.
I'm afraid I was 100% too blunt.
Well, better than saying too little. PR's not a job for shrinking violets. Simon knows that.
Come on, don't worry about it. Blew it. No point in living off false hopes.
You sure?
Damn sure.
Well, if you're sure, I don't suppose you'd object to me mentioning the job to James Gregory.
Gregory? He's so bloody young. He's only just found out there's no Father Christmas.
But if you're sure, it's no go. Well, James is the only other man in the club in our line. I mean, I could say nothing, of course, but God knows who'd get the job then.
Simon was bloody right, wasn't he?
Oh, come on. It'll all seem less hideous in the morning. You're right to play.
I suppose so. I loiter on the wing out of harm's way.
Oh, come on, we'd better turn in. Now, don't worry about the job. There'll be other chances.
Lot 87. Six exceptionally fine chairs, part of an original dinner set of 24, being auctioned in four sets of six. I'll entertain an opening bid of 1,000. Now, come along, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot to get through. 1,000 on my right. 1,200?
Going nicely, Frank. Who got 13, the porcelain? Whalen, dealer from London. He bought the clocks as well.
And that fat geezer from Birmingham has taken a good bit.
We're smiling. Still playing the bandit in the bar.
How's things going in the hall?
Like a bomb. The public's snapping up their knickknacks. Most of the stuff never came from here at all. Just bought in. They must be touched.
Don't say that, Frank. I like to see private enterprise flourish.
All right, boys, gather round, gather round. All right, now listen. They're playing that big bugger on the blind side of the scrum. So what we do is this. At the set scrums, if we're within kicking distance of their post, we channel the ball to Billy, right?
Yeah.
Right, now I don't want it squirting out of the scrum at 45 degrees. Now, where's Julian?
Oh, here.
All right, Julian retreats 10 yards behind the advantage line, and Billy picks up from the base of the scrum and gives him the feed. And it'll bugger up their flankers. Now, if Julian fakes a bit, we might even get a couple of penalties.
What about their three cues, especially that fast bastard?
Yep, they're going out in the field. Come on, we better show Willing.
Never mind, lads.
Oh, nonsense. Better than last year. At least we crossed their line. How's the bloke Billy hit?
Oh, he's a bit pale, but he's on his feet. If you ask me, he could have walked off. I thought they made a big thing of it carrying him. But Billy looked a bit embarrassed, which isn't like him.
Well, served the bugger right. He was lucky not to be sent off.
Oh, come off it. The bloke stamped on Billy, so he got up and dotted him. Well, I'd have done the same.
I remember the days when nobody was sent off. Happens all the time now. Anyway, there's a jug of shandy on its way. Oh, yeah, glasses under the bench.
This bloody waiting's getting on my chump.
Bottle it, Smiler.
The overgrown schoolboys are all out kicking one another. Staff's in the back playing pontoon. We could get out of here for a couple of hours.
I can't stand being locked up. I can't stand it. It's like...
Take it easy,
Smiler. We all know what it's like. We've all been there.
I can't do no more bird, Jacko. I can't.
Easy, Smiler.
Keep your voice down.
All right, Jacko. Leave him alone. Come on, Smiler. Let's take a turn around the car park.
Car park? It's no better than an exercise yard.
Well, stay in here, then. It's only till tomorrow.
Let's go through it again.
I'll check there's no one about.
It's all right. They're still in the back playing cards.
Right. Now, listen. If you're so bloody anxious to stay out of jail, Smiler, try to remember what I tell you. Tomorrow morning, after the local commuters have all driven to work, Frank will take a stroll round the car parks in town and pick out a likely motor. Nothing flashy, a Cortina, a Maxi, something like that. Something that don't attract attention. And he brings it out to the lane off by the bypass where you, Smiler, and I will be waiting with the shooters, the masks, the overalls and the plastic carrier bags. Then we all get into the second motor and drive nice and gently back into town, by which time it should be just coming up to 9:30. Now, as soon as the bank doors open, we do the blag. No. Listen, Aperia. If you've got to put the frighteners on, or if some bird hits the alarm, you fire into the ceiling.
We know, Jacko.
It's not you I'm thinking about, Frank. I don't want the headless bank managers. There'll be enough Jacks after us anyway. We can do without a murder hunt.
I don't want to hurt anybody, Jacko.
Oh, don't! Oh, I remember that cross street job, Gordon Bennett.
They're under orders, Smiler. The bank tells them. If it happens, hand over the money. They have to put the safety of the staff first, or pretty soon they wouldn't have any staff. So don't say a word. Just stand there waving your shooter and looking terrifying. They'll hand over. Then we scoop the lot into the carrier bags and off.
If the manager won't, do I give him a seeing to?
No, he will. If he don't, leave it to Frank.
We're three-handed, Jacko. That's one short at the very least for a bank job.
It's a small-town branch.
We could do with a wheelman.
Well, it's not smash and grab, is it? We're not trying to do the burn at an arcade.
We should go four-handed. I know it's the last minute, but...
Where are we going to get another driver at this notice?
Scarlatti Brothers?
Do leave off. They'd take the job over, wouldn't they? We'd take the risks and they'd take the money. I'd rather chance it.
I don't want to chance anything.
Smiler.
I'll shut you up.
Smiler, pack it in. Let me drive, Jacko. You do the blag with Smiler.
No, you and Smiler are the terror department. We need two enforcers, not one and a half. I'll do the driving. I'll be all right. We'll do it my way and that's the end of it.
And the Pakistani was looking up at the Statue of Eros when along comes this Irishman.
Heard it.
I haven't.
Oh, I've forgotten how it ends now. Well, I ain't got any.
The Irishman lends the Pakistani a Wellington boot.
That doesn't make sense.
It does if you've heard the rest of it.
Oh, he spoilt it now.
Well, you can't leave a joke like that. Can he?
No! You can't tell the middle of a joke last. Even you silly buggers wouldn't laugh at that.
Not telling a joke.
Wow! Oh, it's not my round.
The club secretary has ruled. Those in favour, please signify in the usual manner.
Right.
Carried.
Bloody right. Hell. Say again, old round.
Right, now, what are we going to do against Cranshaw? You must admit I'm running out of ideas.
We've got to get one, William. We can't go home with a white bar.
They're nearly as decrepit as us. One of their old boys is in my firm.
That's the effect of working for your firm.
Thank
you. Look what it's done to you.
As a matter of fact, they've started a youth program and a coaching scheme. They'll beat the living daylights out of us if we don't watch it.
Well, they can't all have teams comprised of muscular young toughs. Stands to reason.
It's the way the game's going.
There you are, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, she's come to
fetch you home.
Jenny.
Come on, I'm not butting in.
No.
Mum's in the car. David.
Well, you can't bring her in here. She'd have a fit.
We've been to that antiques fair.
It's Sunday.
It's open right through the weekend. Look, we've seen a pine corner cupboard. Look, if we're going to buy that big old house, it's just the sort of thing we're going to need. Our modern furniture will look very funny in those rooms. And there's a set of ladder-back chairs. Oh, come and look at them. I don't want to bid. I get carried away.
This isn't the time or place. What are the boys going to think? I look an awful charm.
Guess what they think?
I do.
Don't be silly. It'll only be for a couple of hours. Then you can get back to the boys and go on with your boozing and your silly songs. I must have been waiting ages in the car.
Look, the other bar's much quieter. Take her in there and fill her full of gin. You can't bring her in here. She'd have a paroxysm.
I don't want to bring her in here. She wouldn't want to come in. Can't you get away? We could be back in an hour.
I could never hear the last of it. Dave Davenport's wife came down to keep an eye on him. I'll be the laughing stock if you don't shoot off sharpish.
Well, but what about the furniture?
If I don't get the job, we can't afford the house anyway.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get it.
I doubt it.
David, don't be so pessimistic.
I'm not. I'm just facing facts. It's just one of those things. It's a pity, but there it is.
So, you don't want me to spend money on the corner cupboard?
If you want it, I suppose we can run to it. How much will it fetch?
Well, I don't know. That's why I wanted you to see it.
Well, we don't know anything about cupboards. Nothing. I've never bought a cupboard in my life.
Anyway, there's this Irish brain surgeon.
Oh, phone for you, Julian. In the lobby.
This Irish brain...
For me? Here.
Reception said it was a lady.
Oh, gosh. It must be Jane.
This beautiful blonde says to this brain surgeon, Doctor, there's something wrong with
God's sake,
my brain.
Billy, shut up. Can't you? What does she want?
How the hell should I know? Go to the phone and find out.
Look, do you want to hear this joke or not?
I'd better go and find out what she wants.
And the girl said, can I put my clothes on now? And the doctor said...
It wasn't Jane. It was Constance. You know, John's wife.
And the doctor said...
Oh, for God's sake, Billy.
All right, Julian, no need to adopt that
it
tone.
It was Constance.
So you say.
It's almost embarrassing.
So I see.
Well, he is my brother.
Quite.
She thinks he's here.
Here? He doesn't play rugger. I remember the little twerp. He was no good at games. Physique of a tubercular rickshaw coolie.
Well, where do you think he is?
Do you know Felix Hargrave and company?
He used to be on my beat when I was in sales.
Laura, the managing director, has this fantastic secretary.
Oh. I mean, Daphne. Yeah. Like a larger version of the Velus Tamila.
He's with her.
Can he handle that sort of handful?
He's got an amazing gift for it.
Oh, I don't see what they see in him, little twerp.
Constance thinks he's with us. Well, one doesn't let down one's own brother.
Naturally.
Yes, well, as soon as I gave her the vague impression that he was here, she said she'd asked to speak to him in the first place, but the switchboard girl had said there was no one of that name in the hotel.
Oh, awkward.
Yes, I did a quick body swerve around that one, said the staff at this place doesn't seem to know who's staying here and who isn't. The receptionist was listening. Anyway, to my horror, Constance said she was driving down here straight away. She's got John's Jag. It won't take long in that.
What's he driving?
Firm's Volvo. It's cunning, that. You'd have thought it would have thrown her off the scent. You don't set out on a dirty weekend with a car full of samples, do you?
What's his line?
Computers. The point is, we've got to do something.
I don't see what we can do. If there are any angry wives to be faced up to, frankly, I'd rather you did it. After all, he is your brother.
That's right.
There's not much bloody help, is it?
Well, we don't even know where he is.
He's in a hotel in the Lake District, right by Windermere. He gave me the name of it in case I ever needed somewhere for a... in case I ever needed a hotel in the Lake District.
Quite. So you can get him on the phone and warn him to go home quick.
That's no good. Constance isn't at home. She's coming here. I better phone anyway.
I'll be back in a minute.
Right, where the hell were
they? She wanted to put her clothes on.
Oh, yeah. She said to this Irish brain surgeon, it's all right if I put my clothes on now.
Have you got any 10-pence pieces?
Oh, for God's sake. And he said, God, I've forgotten. You've ruined that bloody joke again.
I've got a couple. Oh, no, three.
Look, shut up, Clark. I'm trying to tell a joke.
Oh, here's another one.
Oh, that's all right. No, it should be enough.
I've remembered it. She said, no. He said...
Oh, what's the number of directory inquiries?
He said, you're cured. No, it's yours.
I think it's 192. Ask the exchange.
I'll be back in a minute. Oh, look, you couldn't find Nick for me, could you? Constance is a very careful driver, all seat belts and keeping to the speed limits. If he gets on the M6 and keeps his trotter well down, he stands a chance. If she gets here first, she'll kill him.
I don't see where Nick comes into it.
He's in charge of accommodation, the hotel bill and all that. I'll square the bill with Nick. I don't suppose John will have any money left. He usually hasn't.
But he can't stay here. The hotel's packed to the door with antique dealers.
He could sleep in a wardrobe or somewhere.
It isn't my round, you know. I bought the last three.
I expect he'll just have a bloody good round, go home.
That's no good. We've got to persuade Constance that he's been here all the time. Nothing else do.
What the hell's the matter with you two?
Well, don't just stand there. Get on the phone. We can argue the toss with Nick later.
Okay.
It's about time some other bugger bought some beer. I mean, come on, buy some beer.
I'll find Nick. You start phoning.
I said it's about time some of you bought some... Bloody hell! Here. Who do you think you're poking?
Just trying to attract your attention, Mr. Frobisher.
I suppose you've got toothache. It's always the same in hotels.
I haven't got toothache.
Well, you will have if you don't shove off.
It's a matter of business.
Business? Not trying to sell me a dental chair, are you? You can just see us lugging that home on a coach.
It's the matter of my wife's escritoire.
She should see a doctor.
Mr. Wayland. Mr. Wayland wants a word with you about
Wayland.
It.
Isn't he that little squirt who got hot under the collar over the clock?
That'd have been Mr. Wayland. Very interested in clocks is Mr. Wayland. He's a horologist.
Oh, I thought there was something wrong with him.
It'll only take a minute. He's in the lounge.
Oh, all right. No peace for the wicked. Look here, Wayland. If you're looking for another row about that ruddy clock, you'd better go and fetch Snow White and the other six dwarfs. You'll need her.
On the contrary... I was hoping that you would accept my sincere apologies for my regrettable outburst. Mm-hmm. Most unprofessional. Mm-hmm. Having had another look at the clock and thought the whole thing over, I think I was more than hasty.
Tell me about the escritoire, Mr. Wayland.
All in good time. Mr. Oldroyd here wants to buy an escritoire and say, why, I can't imagine, but that is... I shall finance this transaction, having taken an option on a clock, which his wife may or may not be persuaded to sell. You follow my drift?
So far.
Now, I believe I can see a way of acquiring two clocks rather than one, if that isn't being too candid by half.
Where do I come in? I'm a dentist, not a clock salesman.
But you do have an interest in the clock. A lien, as the lawyers say. There is the unfortunate matter of the damage to it.
Now, don't bring that up again.
No, but, you see, you could, with a straight face and a clear conscience, approach the manager, say how sorry you were for the damage done to the clock, and offer to buy it as it stands, damage and all, for, 500?
500? For that monstrosity?
Once you've safely got the clock, I'll prepare a bill of sale and make sure the manager signs it. I'll give you 1,000 for it. I've drawn up a little contract to that effect.
1,000?
100% profit for 5 minutes' work. I mean, I can hardly be fairer.
Look, if it's really worth 1,000, why don't you just go up to the manager and give him a grand and leave with it?
Oh, the happy simplicities of the dental profession, Mr. Oldroyd.
Quite right.
If an experienced antiques dealer were to approach him, he'd smell a rat at once. Have the thing professionally appraised. There are enough people here who'd be happy to take a fee for doing it, and I wouldn't lose my profit.
Ah, you mean it's worth more than 1,000?
Of course it's worth more than 1,000, and do I strike you as a philanthropist?
How much more?
That's my affair. There is, after all, the expense of having such a clock professionally restored. One has to know the right people. It's a simple matter of business. Oldroyd gets his escritoire.
Gone.
And I get my money back, whatever happens regarding his wife's collection of high-rise antiques. You get 500 for making a sporting gesture. And I'll have my men collect the clock from your home later.
You want me to take it home with me?
Well, I can't leave with it, can I? You're the one who's supposed to have bought it.
What am I going to tell the others? They're going to think it a bit odd, aren't they?
Well, tell them what you like. For a quick 500, I'm sure I'd think of something.
Tell them you're making a sporting gesture.
Oh, they'll never believe that.
Then tell them it's ethics.
Nick.
Hang on, can't you? I'm on the phone. Yes. Well, we've got a coach. I thought we could just drive up to the clubhouse and leave it there. Oh, I see. Quiet. Well, not in those circumstances. Well, we'll sort something out. So it's 2:30 at the club. Kick off 3 o'clock. Right. Goodbye. Well, that should be all right, Vicar.
Oh, good. Nick.
Please, Julian. I've got all 10 fingers in the dike as it is.
Something's come up.
Oh, not more breakages. I'll kill Billy.
It's my brother.
Your brother?
Yeah, I don't think you've ever met.
What's it all about?
Honestly, Julian, we are up to our necks. Some farmer's cows have got onto the pitch we're playing on this afternoon.
Crapping all over it. Yeah. And we won't be able to open any of the gates to get the coach in because they might escape onto a main road. We'll have to walk miles.
My brother's on his way here. It's an emergency, a family affair.
Here?
Well, there's no room here. I mean, the place is packed with antique dealers.
It's an emergency. He can have my bed. I'll bunk in with Pig.
Pig'll have a fit.
Never mind that, Pig. Well, what about the hotel? They can't have spare people sharing beds all over the place.
I'll pay his bill.
There isn't any room for him.
Ask them.
You ask them. He's your brother.
It would be better coming from you. Look, he's got to be here, officially, one of the touring party.
We've never met the bloke.
Look! Look, his wife is on her way here.
His wife? Well, she's not going to be sharing a bed with a touring party too, is she? What the hell do you think this is?
No, of course not. His wife thinks he's in the Lake District with his managing director's secretary.
And is he?
Of course.
I thought you said he was coming here.
Well, he is, but his wife found out. I phoned him in the Lake District. He told her he was on a rugger tour with me. She's hearing down the M4 to see. He's thrashing his way down the M6 to get here first. It's absolutely vital that we have his story cut and dried before they get here. We've got to act as if he's one of the boys. Been here since we arrived.
I see. Can he play?
He knows the rules.
Can he play?
No, not really, no. A bit of a weed. But Pig's got a hamstring.
Well, only a very slight one.
Well, he could hide on the wing. It's only one game. Think of the man's wife.
Well, I suppose we could put it to the others.
No, just a minute, Nick. Is Julian saying that he proposes to stage manage a deception so that his brother's wife should not discover her husband's adultery?
Well, that's the impression I got. Eh, Julian?
Well, nobody's going to involve you, Vic. You needn't worry. We'll leave you right out.
Oh, don't you see, Julian, and don't you see, Nick, that I am already involved?
Come on, Vic. This is a rugger tour, not a meeting of the Band of Hope.
I refuse to lie to that woman.
Nobody's asking you to...
I suppose you'll do it for me, will you? That'll take care of my conscience, will it?
You're not in the pulpit now, Vic. If it was your brother, we'd all lie like blazes to get him out of trouble.
He's right.
My brother is a bishop.
He's still right.
That's not the point.
Look, suppose it was your wife.
I have no wife, Julian.
Good job. You wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Shut up, Julian. Now, look, just suppose, Vic, for the sake of argument, that you had a wife...
Yeah. And she was supposed to be somewhere or other, you know, doing whatever vicar's wives do, whereas, really, she was in bed with a milkman. Don't you think we'd spare you the pain of that knowledge?
You are a model bankrupt. I do not think I have ever heard a more hypocritical piece of sophistry.
Now, listen... We've got an angry wife heading this way, hell-bent on tearing the ears off her wayward husband. Mm-hmm. We're already in a very precarious standing with the hotel because of the breakages.
And what happened last year?
Now, think of the embarrassment to the club. You are president, after all.
But that is blackmail.
There's no dealing with him.
One cannot compromise on a point of morality, Julian.
The morality's nothing to do with you. Mind your own business. Right. You don't know either of these people. They must go to hell in their own way and at their own speed. But the last thing they're going to do is to thank a spare vicar who happens to be titular head of a boozy rugger tour, barging into their lives, laying down the moral law.
Right.
You'd be lucky to come out of it with your teeth still in your head.
A Christian must not fear the consequences.
You please yourself. I'm afraid of them.
You talk of the good name of the club in the same breath as countenancing these sexual improprieties?
I'm not countenancing anything. It's just that I decided at a very early age to stand by people I've known all my life. Including you, despite your cussedness. And avoid trouble whenever possible.
If you think my brother's going to repent at this stage, Vic, you're crackers. Look, we're just trying to stop a blazing matrimonial battle, that's all.
Oh, I see that I cannot prevent this, but I shall not forget this incident.
Well, I shall forget it as soon as possible. Come on, let's start dragging them out of the bar before they get too pissed at play.
Excuse me? I wonder if you could tell me whether there's a Mr. John Walters in the hotel.
It's Constance. Do something.
Constance!
Ah.
I suppose you're looking for John.
Okay, well.
It's all right, this lady's with me. He's upstairs.
Upstairs?
Slight strain. Don't worry, he'll be fit for the match. This is Nick, club secretary and our tower of strength. Nick, Constance, John's wife.
How do you do? John's mentioned you so often. Can I get you something? Gin and tonic, perhaps?
Oh, that'd be very nice.
Double gin and tonic, please. With ice and lemon.
I'd hope to see John. Julian said he was injured.
A slight strain.
Oh, these things happen to we athletes, but I don't think it'll affect his play. Nothing to worry about.
He'll be racing up and down the wing as usual. Just mark my words.
You know, you're going to think I'm dreadfully silly. But I never knew he was interested in Rugger.
Bit of a dark horse.
He was like that as a boy. I remember when he started collecting snails. Mm. It was years before I found out. Never said a word to me. Not a word.
Is there a ladies?
Dunno.
On the left, by the grandfather clock.
Back in a minute.
Where the hell is he?
How should I know? I suppose he's somewhere on the M6.
How long are we expected to keep this up?
I don't know.
He's your brother.
If his firm had given him a newer car, we wouldn't be in this mess. That Volvo has done 90,000, you know. There he is. John!
Your voice down.
Hello, Julian. I'm sorry about all this. Force majeure and all that.
Constance is in the ladies.
Oh, my God.
Pull yourself together, man. Now, get upstairs quick.
I haven't registered.
We've fixed all that. Go on, disappear. Room 46.
This is frightfully good of you.
Go!
All right, I'm going.
This is never going to work. He looks less of a Rugger player than ever. My daughter looks more robust than he does.
Well, it's too late now. You got us into this. You get us out.
Sorry I've been so long. They're queuing in there. It's like Marks and Spencer's on a Saturday morning.
Really?
Another?
Oh, no, honestly, I haven't finished this one.
Well, get on with it.
There's no need to shout, Julian.
Bit of a rough diamond, eh, Julian?
Don't apologise for him. He's always been like that.
Quite.
Well, I just meant that if she wants another one, she'd better finish that one.
I think it might be a good idea if Julian went upstairs to see if John's fit to be seen.
What do you mean, fit to be seen?
Well, you know how it is. A lot of hairy Rugger players stripped to the buff. not really a woman sort of environment.
I'm his wife.
Oh, it's the other chaps we're thinking of. They're rather shy.
What are they doing up there?
Well, the sort of thing that Rugger players do. Before a match.
We'll all be doing it before the match.
It's the sort of thing men do. Before a match.
Gosh, how dreadfully masculine. And to think John has been doing that sort of thing all these years and I never knew.
Yeah, we don't talk about it.
Quite.
Right. What do you make the time?
9:29. There's the manager. He's late this morning. Wonder what he was doing last night.
Who's this? One of the cashiers. She's like an all.
Nice bit of crumpet. She's in. Here's another one. No wonder they don't bloody open on Saturdays.
He's the assistant manager. He can come and go when he wants, can't he? All right. Check.
Right.
Overalls, surgical gloves, cord, carrier bags.
All ready.
Put your mask on him. Shooter's ready. Doors are opening. Go!
Can I help you?
Oh, God!
Keep still, Sonny! You! Fetch the manager! If anyone goes near the alarm, I'll shoot! And don't think the armoured glass will stop a shotgun! You the manager? Watch that one! Just keep still, miss, and you'll be all right!
The staff are not to be touched. I'll cooperate.
You're a clever fella. Down on the floor, all of you! Face down! Stick your hands out to your sides where I can see them! That's it. Now you, Mr. Manager, sir, open the night safe. Just the night safe. We're not interested in the traceable new notes in your tills. Now fill these carrier bags with the satchels. That's right. Just pile them in. Chuck the full bags over here. Now get down on the floor with the others. You got them?
Right, Frank.
Ready?
Yeah.
If the alarm goes before we're away, we start shooting. Got it? Let's go. Ease off, Jacko.
go well, did it?
Smiler called me Frank in there.
Oh, you bloody lunatic.
It slipped out.
It's done now. It's a common enough name.
They'll run it through the police computer and check every Frank with form.
You think I don't know? They might think it was a deliberate slip, just thrown in to mislead. Anyway, it's no good worrying about it. Here's the lane.
You got the razor?
Yeah.
Right, as soon as we're stopped, slip the satchels. Smiler, you tip the money in the sack. Okay, let's check everything. Overalls, gloves, plastic bags, masks, shooters. The empty satchels, all in the car. Well, pull the pedal, Frank.
Right.
Don't touch the seat. That plastic container will burn. Oh, toss it in. Right, stand back. In your state, quick. We all look a credit to the antiques trade. Smiler, string your tie.
All right, Jagger.
Now, forget the blank. Put out your minds. We'll get to the hotel, have a quiet drink and all calm down, yeah? We are respectable businessmen who pay their bills and mind our own affairs. Jack's have the main roads under surveillance by now, and good luck to him in this traffic. We can stay at the hotel for as long as it takes for them to get tired of it. Does that car rug cover the money?
Just about.
We'll have to make some arrangements for it, won't we? Can't lie in an estate car for days on end for some nosy porter to spot.
What you got in mind?
Well, no choice, have we? You've got to take it into the hotel.
What happens if some bloody chambermaid finds it under the bed?
Leave her to me.
Don't be an idiot all your life, Smiler. You should have thought of that when you were nicking an estate car, shouldn't you?
You never said.
I thought it was obvious. We'll have to put it somewhere away from our own room, somewhere that's big enough to take the sack, but it's never looked at very close. That clock.
What clock?
That clock, that great big grandfather clock that stands in the lounge. Nobody's looked inside that for years. It doesn't go. Why should they?
How are we going to get the money inside the hotel without it being seen?
Well, the rugger players will be off to their match this afternoon. The antique dealers will be at the sale. And the hotel staff will start playing pontoon in the back as soon as lunch is cleared away.
You're a bloody genius, Jacko.
There's the hotel, huh? Okay, gentlemen, keep smiling.
Right.
We just had a very profitable morning.
Listen, John, we gather. Well, shall we say that you're not one of nature's born rugger players, no offence?
None taken. I'd like to say how very grateful I am to everybody. I'll just try not to let you down, that's all.
You'll just have to do your best.
Yeah, some of the others are rather less than enthusiastic about the whole thing, John. They say we'll be playing with 14 men.
14 and a half.
Yes. I haven't managed to make any sort of preparation for the game.
I've had a haircut.
Apart from that?
Not really. Do you think I might look a bit more ferocious if I didn't shave?
I'd say it's a marginal factor.
You do know the rules.
I think I've got a rough idea.
Well, no passing forward, and for God's sake, keep behind the advantage line at set scrums.
And watch yourself at line-ups.
The left winger is practically a psychopath, so keep an eye on him.
Take care of loose balls.
Yeah, cover across, and if a pass should come your way, or if the other side charges down a kick...
Run like hell, because the bloke marking you...
He's a psychopath, so you said.
Yes.
Yeah. You could always make a clean breast of it to Constance now that she's had a chance to cool off a bit.
If it's all the same to you, I think I'd rather face their left winger. Is this it?
Well, the coach driver says so.
I can't see any cows.
But one can see where they've been.
Yeah, well, I suppose we'd better climb over the gate and pick our way across the pitch to the clubhouse. Mm.
Billy? Could you help the ladies over?
I can manage, honestly.
Oh, we can't have the supporters injuring themselves. Take my hands. Watch your feet.
After you, Nigel.
Billy, don't forget the kit.
My name's Bramble.
What about some help with all this kit? I said, what about some... Bloody hell!
Is that the smallest shirt we've got?
He's rather thin.
It's like a collapsed umbrella.
Try and look the part, John, for God's sake. If you weren't Julian's brother, we wouldn't have agreed to this pantomime.
Sorry about the vicar. He seemed rather upset.
Yeah, he's retired to his room to read St. Thomas Aquinas. Good luck to him, I say.
We should have elected Mickey Henderson as president. I can't see Mickey making all this fuss.
Well, we didn't. trouble with the vicar is he's so prejudiced against adultery.
Mm. None of us is perfect.
I've lost my jockstrap.
Mm. Oh, for God's sake, Billy, bloody well look for
it. It's over there, you oaf.
Anybody got a spare lace?
Okay, gather round, boys. Come on, gather round. Now, listen. John, we'll try and keep the ball down the opposite touchline.
Opposite touchline.
You're on the right wing, and Julian... Julian will kick left all the time.
Right.
With any luck, you'll never see the ball at all. The game will just be a boring series of scrums and line-outs. But if anything goes wrong, you'll just have to do your bit. And remember, your wife will be watching. If the ball comes your way, fall on it, and... Hope arrives quickly.
I'll do my best.
Of course you will.
Shut up, Billy.
How's your insurance position? I'm not sure. I can arrange immediate cover. I could put in a call to Armitage on the clubhouse phone. Full cover. Any injury, maiming, death, paralysis, indefinite hospitalisation, funeral expenses, the lot. Cost you a bit, but I wouldn't in circumstances.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, don't listen to him. Lloyd's is closed for the holidays anyway.
Emergency cover. He's your brother, after all. I'll write a policy myself. Who's got a pen?
There isn't time. They're already on the pitch. Come on!
Right. This is it.
Okay, boys, we're playing with the wind. Scrum formation forwards. Yours, Billy. Get round here. Give him some support. Ours. Ours. On it. Another way. Left, go left.
Left. Oh, not this way. Go away. Not me.
Blindside.
Not me. Blindside. Oh,
where's Smiler?
I've sent him to play the one-armed bandit. It calms him down.
Just as long as he's out of the way.
Right, Frank. Here's the car keys. There's no one around. I've had a good look. I'll watch the door to the kitchens. Straight out to the car as if you were collecting any old item of luggage and very calmly back here. I'll have the clock open.
Okay, Jacko.
Nice and steady. Anyone see you?
No one about.
Give it here. Mission accomplished. Let's go and join Smiler. I could do with a drink.
Well, I think he'll be all right. Would you like to go with him? The ambulance.
Oh, yes. Oh, poor John.
Pity he got so completely covered in there.
Mad, yes, pity about that. But nasty for the ambulance men. Still, all in a day's work, I suppose.
Remember Nigel Fitzpatrick Ford?
Yeah.
He was trampled like that. Never walked again.
Shut up, Billy.
All right. No need to take that. If it's any help, I'll do his teeth privately for practically nothing. No one can say I don't help a man who's down.
Don't worry about John, Constance. Well, the ambulance is ready to go. You'd better get aboard.
Yes. Don't worry, darling. Oh, and don't move. Don't right. worry.
Come on, we better restart the match. Right. George, look over on the wing.
Where's that coach?
Plenty of time. Plenty of time, my backside. Some of us have got jobs to go to.
The British Bank holiday now lasts 5 days, or 10 at Christmas. Nothing's open except the banks. Plenty of time.
I promised the manager would be out by noon.
It isn't noon yet. The bar only opened at 11.
What do you mean?
Nearly 5:02. They've been boozing for close on an hour.
Look at Billy. Billy, put it down. Gently.
And he's got glass. Didn't drop one of them.
Steady hands, you see. I've got to have them in my line. Can't tell the patient to open wide, then stand there drilling hands, shaking like a bloody leaf. It wouldn't do.
Are the others as blasted as this?
Dave Davenport's got eyes like pickled onions. Did he get that job?
Afraid not. Too bloody old. Don't tell him I said so.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Oh, pig is ostentatiously drinking orangeade.
He would. Afraid of cirrhosis of the liver. Seen the vicar?
He isn't speaking to us.
Well, he can please himself.
I bet the roads will be packed with homegoing bank holiday traffic.
Well, the girl at reception has a transistor. Isn't there a noon traffic check on local radio?
I'll go and ask her.
Where's the coach?
Yeah, where's the coach?
Now, we don't know. George is trying to find out about the traffic.
Oh, hold on, here it is.
This region is experiencing long delays as police check vehicles following yesterday's bank raid. London-bound traffic is particularly affected. Further disruption is likely this afternoon in the vicinity of the RAF air display.
Just our blood luck. I only hope the boys don't get too drunk while we're waiting, that's all. It'd It'd be a crying shame to break up the place after a comparatively exemplary tour. We've got next year to consider.
Hear that on the radio, Jacko?
Relax. The money's still in the grandfather clock. It's safer in there than in the car. Well, the police aren't running around checking grandfather clocks, are they?
How are we going to get the money out?
Same way I got it in. And the staff are playing pontoon in the kitchen.
What do we do now?
We order lunch. And if necessary, dinner. Sit tight. When the police get fed up with delaying half the traffic in the West Country, we'll pick up the cash, put it in the estate, and blow.
So I said to the area manager, well, stop that. I'd rather turn it all in and go back to head office.
Right. Gotta stand up for yourself.
Come on, lads, coach is here.
Come on, let's get him aboard before it turns into a bloody pumpkin.
Someone had better check the bags. Jumbo lost his kid last year.
It's all there. I'll get the boys.
Up to you, lads. Coach is here. Bags are in the hall. Come on, get those bricks finished.
Just a minute.
Come on, Billy.
Oh, just a minute. Hang on.
No.
Shocking business last year. Bloody disgrace. Ruined.
This wasn't cheap.
Not prizes anymore.
It's all right, Billy. That was last. It's all been forgotten. You've been very good.
No, I never should have done it. Disgraceful, professional man and all that. Unethical.
Get him in the coach.
Come on, Billy.
No.
Come on, Billy. Must do the right thing. Clock's worth 500. Bargain holds 10 gallons of beer. Jack Prince told me that.
Come on, son. Coach is waiting.
Give him a check.
Need a hand with it.
Check. 500. Bargain. Anyway, must take something off with the wife. We've got a rotten birthday.
What the hell is he talking about?
Are you you take that out.
You take that out.
Oh, he's heavier than last.
Billy,
put it down.
40.
At least I could do.
Mind that vase.
Left.
Oh, Billy, it's not.
Oh, what is it?
He's just bought it.
Let him break his dead news to the host driver. Up a bit. Watch the door. Big, grab it at him.
They're taking the clock.
There's 15 of them and we've dumped the shoeless.
We can't let them take it, Jacko. Not after what we've been through to get it. Not after risking bird for it. We could follow the coach. Find out where they go.
Well, they'll find the money before they've gone 5 miles. They bought a new toy, ain't they? They won't leave it unopened. No, we got to get out of here. I'll pay the bill, get upstairs and cram everything in the bags. Go!
It's no good. It'll have to stay in the aisle.
Oh.
But mind your feet.
All of them.
Okay, lads. It's the same all over, It's the rich gets the blame. It's the rich what gets the pleasure.
In A Quiet Place in the Country by Max Williams, Nick Owen played Nick, Jack Carr, Jacko, Andy Rashley, Smiler, and Dennis Blanche, Frank. Nicholas Fry was George, Bernard Latham, Billy, Brian Southwood, Julian, and Geoffrey Banks, the Vicar. Russell Dixon was Davenport, Malcolm Hebden, Oldroyd, and Roy Barraclough, Wayland. Kate Lee played Jenny, David Fleischman, John, and Jenny Lee, Constance. The play was directed in Manchester by Tony Cliff.